This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
General Pace, you said there's a possibility of the situation in Iraq evolving into civil war. Is that correct?
I did say that, yes, sir.
Did you anticipate this situation a year ago?
No, sir.
That was U.S. Marine General Peter Pace, the commander of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, in an exchange with Senator John McCain on Thursday. He and Army General John Abizaid gave a formal appraisal of the situation in Iraq to the Senate Armed Services Committee. Defense Secretary Rumsfeld was also present at those hearings. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And General Abizaid had told the same Senate panel in March that Iraq was a long way from civil war.
Mm-hmm.
Now he and General Pace are back telling them that the situation is much worse than they thought it would be 6 months ago.
Because it is.
Is it the situation alone that has changed, or is the way the administration sees the situation also changed?
I'm not sure it's the way the administration sees it. I think it is the way that the military sees it. They're not saying it because they enjoy saying it. They're saying it because they do, after all, represent the armed forces, and they want some consideration for the armed forces. When you hear, like, Tom Friedman in New York Times saying, people begin to think we shouldn't be throwing good American lives after good American lives, we begin to see a real change there. There's a growing sense that where Iraq is headed towards is towards a three-way split with Shiites and Kurds and Sunni Muslims, which could end up as a partition of the country, is what some people are beginning to say.
Prime Minister al-Maliki said this week that he thought that Iraqi troops could begin to take overall security operations by the end of the year. And yet there do not seem to be, after this week's testimony, a lot of American office holders saying that U.S. troops will be gone by the end of the year.
That's right. Well, for one thing, you know, at least we can protect the capital, Baghdad. And they shifted some troops from other parts of Iraq, so at least they would have in Baghdad a real functioning government. They're not even quite sure of that. There continued to be a great deal of fighting in the capital. More and more people get killed. And there's a question of how long, how far.
Fighting and violence continued this week in Lebanon. Hezbollah rockets rained down on northern Israel, progressively deeper into the country. Israeli airstrikes continued and ground forces deeper into southern Lebanon. Certainly the event that probably got the most attention was the airstrike in the village of Qana, Lebanon,
yes.
In which it was determined by the end of the week 28 people, more than half of them children, died. Israel said that Hezbollah had fired rockets from a position nearby. The governments of Saudi Arabia and Egypt have joined the call for a ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
At first, they had been critical of Hezbollah. Has there been a shift in public opinion in the Arab world?
Well, in the Arab world, of course. The Arab world is solidly lined up behind the Hezbollah in a situation like this. As to who else is behind, we don't know. The United States is trying very hard through Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State, to negotiate some viable truce, some viable ceasefire, meaning one that will not blow up 2 weeks after you've gone into it. And that makes it very difficult to figure out what next. The United States and Israeli position is ceasefire, yes. Sustainable ceasefire. What does sustainable mean? Sustainable means that it isn't going to simply collapse over the first few weeks. You've got to send a stabilization force to take our place in southern Lebanon. Mm-hmm.
Now, Secretary Rice was all set to visit Lebanon, and then the Qana bombing occurred, and she was, according to reports, told that she was no longer welcome in Lebanon. Does the U.S. have leverage?
Oh, yes, the U.S. has leverage along with Britain, and they are exercising it now with some help from the French, I must say, in trying to get one or maybe two resolutions to be able to change the situation. Incidentally, there's a CNN poll that indicates 59% approval rating for Secretary Rice as opposed to 40% for the president.
Mm. In Cuba this week, President Fidel Castro temporarily transferred power to his brother, Raul Castro, who's also the defense minister, after it was announced that Mr. Castro would undergo intestinal surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I believe our latest reports is that the surgery has taken place. What does this portend at this particular point, this change of leadership?
It beats me. The whole world, including the world of Cuba, wants to know after Castro what. His brother Raul, who's in charge of the army, who's in charge of intelligence. Clearly, he has a lot of power. No one knows how he'll exercise it. Will the time come for Cuba to try to re-enter the nations of the world? Another CNN poll indicated that 2-1 Americans want to see resumed relations with Cuba, which is very interesting.
Also, you're in some position to know that that people can continue to be vigorous and do their jobs until the age of 90, aren't you?
More or less, yes.
Senate Republicans failed to get the votes they needed to pass a bill that, would have combined a cut in the estate tax with an increase in minimum wage.
Right.
From $5.15 an hour to $7.25 over 3 years.
Right.
Now, this is one of those bills that was put together to have something for everyone.
Exactly.
But Democrats overwhelmingly voted against it. What happened?
What happened was that the Democrats are taking a certain risk. They were told, you want to get an increase in the minimum wage for your people, then give us what we want for our people, which is a decrease in estate taxes. Somewhat surprisingly, I guess, the Democrats say, no, we're not going to buy it on those terms, and believe they can possibly make a campaign issue of it by going and saying the reason that you couldn't get an increase in the minimum wage is that they wanted, first of all, to decrease taxes for the very rich, and they think they may have a campaign slogan there. We'll find out.
This sounds like a naive question, but sometimes you learn a lot by asking naive questions. How much congressional legislation is influenced by the onset of elections in November?
You mean what factor of 101 to 100%? It's somewhere in that range. I mean, we get our legislation enacted by a Congress which is elected. And when they come up towards election, they do strange things because they think it'd be nice to be elected again. And that accounts, aside from what you'll get from lobbyists, which goes on all the time, you get an especial drive saying we got to pass something or look as though we haven't passed something because the bad guys on the other side wouldn't let us. Does that help?
Yes, I think so. Thank you. You cleared it up nicely. Dan, hot enough for you? There's an original question, but people have been asking it all over the country this week.
The answer is very simple, yes.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore. Takes a senior news analyst to say that?
It takes an anchor person like you to ask that?